Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. God bless you all, and welcome back to Sword of the Spirit Ministry. I'm your host, Brother Barney, and we're going to play a little song, and we'll be right back. Amen. I love that song, Glory Goes to God. I hope everybody could see the screen there, our live stream. Okay, there we go. Tonight we're going to share a special message, Glory Goes to God. But before we get started, I'd like to introduce our beliefs. We are non-denominational. We believe in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in John 3:16. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We also believe Jesus is coming back on the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. We believe that you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. and we believe in all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are not affiliated with any other prayer line or radio station. Amen. Glory goes to God. So get your Bibles, pencils, and papers ready, because as usual, I do share a lot of scriptures. I like to use a lot of scriptures and have the Word of God and God lead us through the power of the Holy Spirit, instead of using one verse and making a big old sermon out of one verse for an hour. I like to use a lot of scriptures. Glory goes to God. And tonight we're going to start off in the book of Romans, starting with Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and it goes like this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. Glory goes to God. Hallelujah. Father God, we give you praise and honor and glory. Lord, we come to your throne of mercy and grace by the blood of the Lamb, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And Father God, we come to your throne not empty-handed in your presence, but we offer you praises, honor, and glory. Lord, we ask you that you would take over through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you would lead us and guide us, open our eyes, our ears, prepare our hearts to receive your word. And Father God, let your word be planted in our heart and let it grow. And let it bring forth much fruit for your power, for your glory, and for your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen. Glory goes to God. Thank you, Lord. Paul said he introduced himself as a servant of God, servant of Jesus Christ. And he's called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle separated. This word separated is very important because it means to be sanctified, to be set aside for a purpose, a special purpose for the use of God. And Paul is called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. Which he had promised afar by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Amen. Jesus Christ did come from the seed of David, King David, King of Israel, chosen by God, a man loved by God, a man after God's own heart. And that's the bloodline according to the flesh that our Lord Jesus Christ came from. Amen. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Amen. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake. Amen. It's very important that we understand what Paul just said. By whom we have received grace. Amen. We have received the grace of God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and apostleship for the purpose, he's going to say right here, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Actually, that means for his name's sake. Amen. It is for the namesake, his namesake, that he gave us the grace of God and chose us to do his will for the purpose of the obedience of faith. Amen. That's pretty easy to understand. Paul began by saying who he is in Christ Jesus. Who is Paul? Paul is a bond servant of Christ. And his calling as an apostle and his consecration for the gospel of God, the word servant here is doulos, D-O-U-L-O. And we're going to look what that word means. It's in the Strong Concordance, number G1210, G1210, which means a slave, bondsman of several condition, a slave, one who gives himself up to another's will, those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men, devoted to another to disregard of one's own interests, a servant attendant. Amen. Glory goes to God. In other words, like Paul says in another scripture, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And that's what Paul is actually saying. Amen. There's another word here, and it's some morphos. And it is number G4862, which the first word we mentioned is rooted. And this word and comes from this word here, which is in the King James Strong's Concordance, and the following confirmed, a fashion like unto, amen, having the same from another similar conformed, amen. And we're going to go to the scripture right here to see what it says. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, and the Lord God had made, caused it to rain upon the, and the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Amen. The purpose why God created Adam, and we're going to go to the scriptures and find out. There was no man to till the ground. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Amen. There was no man to till the ground, so God made a man in his own image and took the man, placed him in the garden, the man that he created in his image, to dress the garden and to keep it. Amen. Glory goes to God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. This is after the fall of man. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. If the sin of Adam, the fall of man, would not have happened, their eyes would have still be open. Open to what? Open with the light of God, of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the purpose Jesus Christ came, to open the eyes of men to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknew, God, for whom God foreknew, he also did predestined to become to the image of his son. This is talking about you and me. God created Adam in his image and his likeness to keep and to put him to work in the Garden of Eden. Adam sinned and fell. That's the flesh, human nature, blinded to the truth of God, to the light of God. But since Jesus Christ came and gave us the grace of God, this is what Romans 8:29 is saying. For whom he did foreknew, God foreknew us before the foundation of the earth. He also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Glory goes to God. Romans 1 says, like we read earlier, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel. Separated means to be sanctified for that purpose. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as a living stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. He's talking about you and me, all believers in Christ. You also, as a living stone, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice, to offer unto God spiritual sacrifice and worship God in spirit and in truth, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. We need to live a life of holiness for this service unto God. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The least thing that we could do. Amen. It says a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. We are called to be transformed, to renew our mind into the image of Jesus Christ. Obedience to the word of God, to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Amen. In other words, not everybody has the same job, but we're all one body in Christ. Amen. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, we all have a different gift according to the grace of God given to us, whether it be prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. What does that mean? So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given unto you. Amen. How could one prophesy without even having faith? You have to have the faith in what it is you are prophesying. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching. What does that mean? If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach them well. Amen. If God called you to teach the word, teach them well, but for the glory of God. Amen. Verse 8. Or he that exhorted an exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Amen. Glory goes to God. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. What does that mean? Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong or evil. Hold tight to what is good and holy. Amen. Verse 10. Be kind, kindly, affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, purifying one another. In other words, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Amen. Glory goes to God. Verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In other words, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Amen. Glory goes to God. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoice in our confident and hope. Be patient in times of trouble and keep on praying. Glory goes to God. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given hospitality. When God's people are in need, in other words, be ready to help them always with eager and practice hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. In other words, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them, and pray that God will bless them. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. That's pretty easy to understand. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. In other words, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of elderly people, and don't think you know it all. Amen. 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In other words, never pay back with evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Amen. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Amen. 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In other words, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Amen. This is why we need to pray for our enemies. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coils of fire on his head. Amen. That's pretty easy to understand. Verse 21. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Amen. That's the way our Lord commands us to be. 1 Corinthians 12 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized unto one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. For the body is not one, but many. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. Amen. God is the one that decides which gift they get, and each one is different, a different gift, but they're all from the same Spirit. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, working of miracles, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of the tongues. Amen. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. These are the nine fruits of the Spirit. We may not all be called to be apostles like Paul, but we are all called to be disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that goes for all of us. Amen. King James Version, Matthew 28, verse 18, goes like this. And Jesus came to speak unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The word here to teach means disciple. Go and make disciples. King James Translation Strong Concordance G3100 in the following matter: teach, instruct, to be disciple. Amen. The word here, go and teach all nations, means to make disciples out of them. It doesn't mean give them the sinner's prayer and tell them we love you, God bless you, and go on and you've done your job for today. The Lord's instructions and a commandment to the believer is to make disciples. Amen. And for all of us, we're all called to be disciples, which means disciplined, trained and learned the word of God. Amen. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the ends of this world age. Amen. It is the word and the will of God to be taught in the word, to learn, to be disciplined, and to obey, and to teach others, and to make disciples. Amen. That is the will of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Who's saying this? Paul is saying this. And we just read, Paul is a servant chosen by God, set aside to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody knows Paul as a grace preacher. He preaches grace. But look what Paul is saying. Who you serve, whether it's sin or obedience to God, that is your master. That's who you make yourself a servant to. If you're a sinful person, you're serving sin. If you're serving God, you're a servant of God. The choice, in other words, what Paul is saying is, you have the choice. The choice is yours, whether to serve God or serve sin. Amen. How can Paul, being a grace preacher, say such a thing? You have eternal life. You are set free from sin. You are saved by the grace of God. Paul is saying all these wonderful things, which is true. But when it comes to sinning, for if you choose to sin and not repent of it, then you are a servant of sin. The choice is yours to serve sin or to serve God. It's plain and simple. Don't put on a label saying you are a follower of Christ if you're not serving Christ. Because, therefore, if you call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, and you're not serving Christ in spirit and in truth, and living a life of sin unrepentantly over and over, a sinful life, then it is considered, and I'm put the phone here so you could see it more clearly, it is considered identity theft. It is unlawful, and it is illegal. Can anybody see that? Identity theft. It is unlawful and illegal. Why is it unlawful and why is it illegal? Why do you call me Lord when you do not obey me? Amen? If you love me, you will obey me. It's not everyone that calls me Lord that will enter the kingdom of God, but those who do my Father's will. Amen? Glory goes to God. I hope everybody understood that. If we call ourselves Christians, yes, we are saved by the grace of God. There's nothing we could do. It's a free gift from God. Salvation comes to us freely. But faith, we have to put our faith. We have to receive the grace of God. After we receive the grace of God, it works in us and it's supposed to change us. So if we call ourselves Christians and followers of God, there's supposed to be a change in us. Because if there's no change in us and we keep repeating the same sin over and over and over, that is considered unrepented sin. And then it's called identity theft. See the word here, identity theft? We all know identity theft is taking an identity, applying to yourself, and saying you are somebody that you are not. Identity theft is unlawful and illegal. Why is it unlawful and illegal? According to the scripture, and I'll read it again. Why do you call me Lord when you do not obey me? If you love me, you will obey me. It is not everyone that calls me Lord that will enter the kingdom of God, but those who do my Father's will. Amen? Glory goes to God. So then, if Paul being a grace preacher, so is Paul just talking just about just for the purpose of talking? Or is Paul saying something other than the rest of the scriptures are saying? Is Paul in agreement with what Jesus Christ is saying? Paul is in agreement with all scriptures. He's not coming up with something different. Paul is not saying you are saved by the grace of God. It's a free gift. There's nothing you could do. Continue in your sin. continue living a life of sin. Paul is not saying that. Amen. Paul is saying, here, God is offering you salvation. It's paid for by his son, Jesus Christ. All you have to do is receive it. Well, how do I receive it? It comes from faith. You have to believe. You have to accept it. Now you have to put your faith in works. Put it to work for you. Work coming from faith is the fruit of faith. Amen? Faith has to be fruitful in order to accomplish. So we have to believe and accept the word and the grace of God and apply it. Amen? Glory goes to God. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Is this in the Old Testament for the Jews? No, this is for everyone. We cannot say and have those weird preachers, you know, the ones that's out there, and say, well, that scripture is for the Jews because it was before the book of Acts, before the resurrection of Christ. The book of Hebrews is after the book of Acts in the New Testament. Therefore, we should not give this one also just for the Jews. It applies to all of us. And it says again, Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Amen. Is it a good thing for us to have the fear of the living God? Yes, it is. Why? Because fear is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. God wants us to love him and to obey him for who he is, and not only for what he's done for us. Amen. Yes, we love God and we're thankful forever and ever for what he done for us. But not only that, when we come to know God, then we also need to thank God for who he is. And how do we do that? Though our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us how do we do that. God wants us to love him and obey him for who he is. Amen. We are to live a life controlled by the Holy Spirit and having the mind of Christ. Put on the mind of Christ. Romans 8:6. For to be carnal minded is death. It doesn't mean the car is going to run over us and we're going to die. To be carnal minded is that means spiritual death, separation from God. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Amen. So we need to walk in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who had known the mind of Christ that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we have the Holy Spirit and we walk in the Spirit, obedience to God, then therefore we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that calls me Lord shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 12:50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and mother. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians 2:10-11. That all the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. Okay, first we got to understand the scripture and listen to it. Amen. And I'm going to read again Philippians 2:10-11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, okay? At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. What does it mean? It's going to tell us. Who is the one? What should bow at the name of Jesus? Of things in the heaven. Everything in the heaven will bow at the name of Jesus. And things on earth, everything on earth should bow in the name of Jesus. And things under the earth should bow in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 11. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. This is the will of God. to the glory of God the Father. Amen. It'll please God, and it is his will. Everything and everybody should bow at the name of Jesus. Isn't that great and powerful and awesome? Yes, glory goes to God. But now let's look at this. Look at the scripture as to what it is saying. Now let us ask a question. Does Jesus Christ expect his followers to obey him? After reading a scripture like that, we need to ask ourselves, does Jesus Christ expect his followers to obey him? Yes, very much. If at the name of Jesus Christ, everything in heaven and earth and underneath the earth is expected to bow down to the authority of the name of Jesus Christ for the glory of God the Father, then we have to ask a question. Does the Lord Jesus Christ expect his followers to obey him? Very much. Amen. Glory goes to God. John 14:50. If you love me, you would keep my commandments. Is this a work-based salvation, like others say, or an act of obedience because we love him as a result of our faith, what he done for us, and by the grace of God? Amen? Well, we cannot do that in the flesh. Flesh cannot please God. We could only do this in the spirit. And this is why we have to walk in the spirit. God is a spirit, and he wants us to have fellowship with him and worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? John 14:21. He that had my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Amen? Glory goes to God. I think that scripture explains itself. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abide with him. Amen? Glory goes to God. Love and obedience, we cannot say we love God and disobey him. If we love God, we will obey him. Amen? Did Jesus Christ change these teachings at any time? Does the word of God or the apostles or anybody change this teaching what we read so far at any time? Don't let anybody fool you. Not whatsoever. Amen. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass. Amen. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Who is this word that proceeded out of the mouth of God? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And if the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, lives in us and we walk in the Spirit, therefore we are in obedience with God and to God. Christ's letters to the churches was not just an idea or a suggestion, but a warning and a commandment to the churches. I know your works, your hard labor, helping the homeless, feeding the poor, going out and preaching the gospel, visiting the sick. These are all works. Yes, Jesus said, I know your works and your labor. I know all your hard works and labor. But nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Amen. He gave the churches warnings. These letters to the churches was a warning to remain in the grace and love and the truth of God. To remain in the faith. To remain in the gospel that leads to salvation. Not the false gospel that's being preached out there. But the true gospel, the only one true gospel of Jesus Christ. and to remain in the love and truth of God, not to be lukewarm or carnal-minded, but to obey God, amen, and walk in the spirit, love, and truth of God. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory goes to God. Well, this scripture explains itself. We are saved by the grace of God. Are we still expected to keep the commandments of God? Well, then Jesus said, you are saved by the grace of God. You no longer have to obey my Father. God forbid. He never said such thing. But he obeyed his Father. He was obedient to God. And his spirit that dwells in us tells us obedience to God is necessary and mandatory. Romans 16:26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophet, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Amen. I'm going to read that again. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What does that mean? The obedience of faith. To obey. Obey. You claim, if you claim it is that you believe. Otherwise, why would Jesus say, why do you call me Lord and do not what I tell you to do? We are not to do, if we do not do what the Lord tells us to do, we are not in obedience to God. And if we are not obedience to God, what is the opposite of obedience? It is disobedience. And it's not a good thing to be disobedient to the Lord. Amen. It's common sense. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. I'm going to read this again. I hope everybody understands it. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God chose you beforehand to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification. We have to be sanctified through sanctification of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one that sanctifies us, unto, for what purpose? He's going to tell us now, unto obedience. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us for the purpose of obedience. And by the sprinkling of blood, Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be manifested. Amen. All these things goes together. And this is why James said, if you say you have faith but no works, then your faith is dead. Because all these things go together. Amen. Acts 5:32. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God had given to them that obey him. Amen. I'm going to read that again. We are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God had given to them that obey him. Amen. God gives his Holy Spirit to those that obey him, and for the purpose to obey him. Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. We are saved by the grace of God, not by our works. But for what purpose? It tells us in verse 10. For we are his workmanship. He molds us and shapes us in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Amen. Which God had before ordained that we should walk in them, which we should be obedient to the works that God created in us. Pretty simple, huh? Amen. Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh is manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is a life of sin, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, violence, emotions, wrath, strife, seditions, harshness, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I have told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They that do such things, the ones that practice these things and not repent of it, will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's kind of harsh, Brother Barney. Hey, it's not my word, it's God's word. You don't like it, you have a problem with God. This is what the word of God says. Who's preaching this? This is Galatians. Paul is the one that preaches this. Paul is the grace preacher. He's the one that a lot of our brothers and sisters are out there that condemn us for saying, are you bringing up works? Is that a work-based salvation? Well, this is the grace preacher that is saying this. And look what he said. Look what the grace preacher is saying. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that tell us? God requires repentance. Repentance is necessary. Living a life of holiness is the evidence that we are saved, not to be saved, but the evidence of being saved, which is the fruit of faith. Amen? You cannot have faith without works. In other words, it's another way of saying you cannot have faith if your faith is not fruitful. Amen? Galatians 5:19. This is why James chapter 2 says faith without works is dead. Amen? Romans 8:1, life in the Spirit. So now, there is no condemnation for those belong in Christ Jesus. That's the way a lot of Bibles preach this. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But in the King James Version, which was written before these other translations, is more closer to the original scripture, says, now, therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? Glory goes to God. Luke 5:32. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. A lot of people leave these two words out. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. But look what the rest of it says. Call them to what? To repentance. Repentance is required. Amen. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. That's in the New Living Translation. Amen. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestined to be confirmed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the will of God, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Therefore, He alone, God alone, is almighty and all-powerful, who chose us to save, who chose to save us by His grace that is receiving through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, to make us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, joined together in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. Glory goes to God. And I'm going to finish with that. And I wish I could answer some questions, but we're running out of time. Did everybody understood that? It's a very simple message, but yet very powerful. Glory goes to God. Amen. Thank you, Father God, for your word. I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that what we learned today, we would apply to ourselves, to our hearts, to our lives. And let your word grow in our heart and bring forth much fruit that will be holy, pleasing, and acceptable unto you. And I pray for all those that listen, and that your word would go forth and bring forth much fruit. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen. Well, God bless you all, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. And don't forget, we're also here on Monday nights on Blog Talk Radio for the Watchman Report, and we'll be back on Friday, every Friday, 8 p.m. West Coast, 9 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. Central, Chicago, and Texas, and 11 p.m. East Coast, New York. Amen. God bless you all. And thank you again for joining us. Good night, and God bless.
And my song would look like a sea of black mixed with fire. And standing beside them, they also would do the tour. They held hearts given them by God. And sang a song of hope and a song of
delight. The song of love and praise, the spirit of God, and the song of the